Well, saints, I'm full of joy today. I really am. You know, we had a Bible study over here earlier, like from about 10:30 to 1:30 or so, I think. And, or maybe it was 1. You know what I see lately is just exciting to me? The Lord told us years ago what He was going to do. To mature a body. And I know many of you are going to come join us soon. And we're also going to see an awesome, awesome revival. God is sanctifying a body, and He's sanctifying the people in the body. What I mean by that, He sanctifies the body by separating the wheat from the tares and separating those, well, like Jesus said in Matthew 13, you know, He will send forth His angels and gather out of His kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity, and cast them into the furnace of fire. Well, there's a fiery furnace coming to burn up all the wood, hay, and the stubble of God's people who have refused to give up their sins. And that's a good thing. It's because God loves us that He's going to do this. It's a good thing. We've been praying for people. We love our brethren, all of them, and we want everybody to make it. And that's the only thing that's really going to count, you know, very soon is, did you make it or did you not, you know? And at any rate, I'm just watching, you know, in the meeting today, you know, there was just all smiles and joy and love. Nobody wanting to hurt somebody or holding something against somebody. None of that. It was just great joy. And you couldn't have seen that several years ago here. There were people with their own problems that they didn't want to deal with. Their own sins that they didn't want to deal with. And God was trying to force them to deal with it. And, of course, we've given so many warnings, but some people just will not lose their life in order to gain their life. And anyway, I'm just joyed over what I'm seeing God do with the body. And other people that come here are saying the same thing. Wow, you know, just awesome. I'm just very, very, very thankful. And I know that we're very close to the beginning of a revival that's going to be fantastic. Usher many, many into the kingdom. Usher many reprobates out of the kingdom. And usher many apostates into the kingdom, all the way into the kingdom. And the fear of the Lord is going to do this. Terror is going to sweep this land, saints. It's going to do that for those who don't have any fear of the Lord. They don't care what they say. They don't care what they do. They don't care that they're against the Scriptures. So God is sending terror. And I'll talk more about that probably the next time we get together. Maybe. Lord willing. Whatever the Lord wants. Anyway, as you know, the faction... and their leadership have been bragging about taking out UBM, you know. There's not about to not be a UBM. Of course, they've warred against us in any way they possibly can. You know, speaking slander to brethren. Heard about some of that today. To attempt to cause them to stumble. That's those that cause stumbling, them that do iniquity, right? They're being removed. And but you know, some of these folks, they just don't know what they're doing. None of them that have those spirits know what they're doing. That's why I say, God have mercy. God have mercy. Wait till I share this revelation with you. But first I want to share a wonderful experience that I've had that's turned out to be a testimony. You know, I know that people are out there praying against me. I know that they're, quote, turning me over to the devil. And, you know, always the curse that is causeless alighteth not. A curse that comes can come for a couple of reasons. Number one, it could come because of willful disobedience. Or it could come to bring a crucifixion, as I will share with you in a few minutes. But it's always got a cause. And, you know, four times their principality, which has used different people down through the last few years, four times their principality has tried to take me out. Tried to take me out, and the last time, to maybe more than that, I don't know for sure, but the last time, to kill me. But it just turned out to be a testimony. I'm here talking to you. Praise God. I'll tell you what happened. And then I'll tell you how we found out what they did and what their principality did. And it's an exciting story. So they're bragging about taking out UVM. But the truth is, saints, the Sennacherib scenario was just like that. They were bragging about taking out Hezekiah. They were bragging about taking out the bride, Jerusalem. And they got taken out. They got taken out. And that's what's going to happen. And we've received that story so many times that we're not even the slightest bit worried about what they say, because they can't tell the truth anyway. But anyway, four times they have tried. All of them had to do with a fall or a crash or something like that. They have tried to take me out. But let me tell you this story. Now, this is awesome and not even the slightest bit not miraculous. Okay? I shouldn't have described it that way. But anyway, Wednesday before last, some of y'all thought a few people, you know, checked in with us to say, why does David sound a little bit different, you know? Well, had you known what I just went through, you would have said, wow, what an awesome miracle, you know? And we didn't know it, but we'd been forewarned that this demon was coming to do this, okay? So I was up on the roof. I had an extension ladder up against the roof. And I was finishing up caulking around a stove pipe that was going out up there. This is a two-story building, and I was up on the top of the first story, which has a pretty long sloped roof, and was finishing up, had my hands full of stuff, including another ladder, which I had up on the top of the first floor going up to the second floor. So I was coming back down, and I got about one step down on the extension ladder when it slid out from under me. And it just scooted right straight out, and then it fell right straight down. And we have a garbage can down here below us where we put kindling to run our wood stove. And it hit that garbage can on the way down, flipped one way, and I flipped the other way, and I basically came down flat on my side. And I knew at the time I had broken some ribs. I reached up at my shoulder joint, and the bone was flopping back and forth. Okay, no, that was just the early part of the story, so listen. And had some real pain in my gut, which I later asked the Lord what that was, and he told me I had injured three organs. And I asked him to confirm that, and with three heads, and he gave me three heads. I had injured three organs, had a fever, you know, there was an infection in them, so on and so forth. Anyway, so I hit the ground really hard. I mean, on my side, on my head, on my shoulder, on my ribs, on my hip, all the way down. And right now you can look at me and you can't tell much of anything that ever happened to me. But when I hit that floor, I am telling you, it knocked all the breath out of me. I could not catch my breath. I was just laying there. And when I finally could speak, I called out to Michael, who was in the house, and he came out and we prayed. And I was finishing this up just before that Wednesday night broadcast. And when we prayed, we rebuked the injury, we commanded healing, we did all those things you'd do if you fell that far and hit flat on a hard deck. It wasn't a soft ground or nothing. It was a hard deck. And as soon as we did that, the grace of God hit me. And I stood up, which was pretty much a miracle. I walked in the house. I got in my chair and got ready for the Bible study. And some of you said, well, what's wrong with David? He sounds a little different. You know, it sounds like his voice a little weak or something like that. Well, you probably would too if you just fell that far, you know. But the Lord helped me to do that. And, of course, Michael was just awed. He says, man, that's a miracle from God. You could do that, you know. And I agree, a total miracle from God that, you know, he enabled me to do that. He really wanted that message out. It was an important message concerning grace and desiring after grace and asking God to give grace and give faith and give those things, you know. It was important. The Lord wanted it out. And so, you know, of course, after it all was over, then I started going through the trial. And the saints came over. We had a prayer meeting, I'm telling you. And it lasted just about all night. And for a little while there, people thought I was going to die. But you know, we had a word from God. I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. We got a word from God. And we were, you know, we'd already had a couple of dreams that I had gone through death and was resurrected in different ways. We weren't real sure if this was the way the Lord wanted to heal me completely or not. It really didn't matter to me. I told the rest of the brethren, it really didn't matter to me whether the Lord took me out. I'd like to go for a little vacation. I was kind of happy about it, actually. Laughing and joking with them, you know, about it. And but you know what? The Lord took me, I think, right down to the edge of death. And other people standing around said they saw the same thing. My heart even started fluctuating. But then everybody just started switching directions and just praying for healing, standing firm for healing. And then everything just totally turned around, you know. And praise God. I'm still with you today, saints. And, you know, the first three attempts, nothing happened to me. I mean, even having fallen, slidden, whatever, I shared some of them with you, you know. Nothing really happened to me. This time, this happened to me, but the Lord is doing miraculously like he always has. Glory be to God, you know. And anyway, to make a long story short, I'm here with you, and I'm feeling pretty good, pretty frisky, actually. And I want to share what the Lord showed us about all this. I think it's pretty neat. First of all, I want to share with you a revelation that was given to Bill Steenland the morning that this happened to me. And this is how we found out who was behind this. You know, let me say this. If you turn people over to the devil, and you haven't done this by God, what you're functioning in is witchcraft and voodoo. Voodoo is just focusing witchcraft to hurt someone, you know. And what the faction movement has moved greatly in witchcraft, voodoo, and of course faction, sometimes Jezebel, etc., etc. Of course, unforgiveness, criticism, anger, railing, hatred, etc., etc. They don't like to let on that way, and they don't come on that way. They come on very smooth. But believe me, we've gotten texts from them bragging about what they're going to do, and even recently. And, you know, the Lord just don't let people get away with that kind of stuff. And he's told us what he's going to do about this, okay? So, of course, you know, when your rib cage is whooped that bad on the side, your rib cage is like your gyroscope, you know. It kind of corrects all the time for any kind of balance or imbalance. It corrects your body, and those muscles tighten up and so on and so forth. And man, they're rough, you know. And I definitely had the pain in my gut that told me something was wrong in there, you know. But shortly after the prayer of the saints, that went away, that we rebuked the fever, and that went away, the infection that was in them, that went away. And so for a short time there, I was in some kind of pain. And so then Bill, again, it was the morning of the same day that this happened, he had this revelation. He said, I dreamed I was in a kind of banquet hall with David, Tim, and Michael Hare. We each had our own round table. David asked me, okay, Bill, what verse did you get? I answered, I got Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Well, that goes like this. For he is our peace, who made both one, and break down the middle wall of partition. Saints, we knew exactly what the Lord was speaking about, that there is a chosen people who are among the faction who are going to be ashamed of what they have done, and they are going to return to the Lord with fervency. And we know this. He is going to restore them. He is going to bless them. He's going to deliver them. Okay? So he break down the middle wall of partition. He made both one. And then 15 is, having abolished in the flesh, in his flesh, the enmity. The animosity between, you know. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, and so making peace. And then Bill said, David answered and said, ah, the golden oil. And I said, yeah, the golden oil. That was a revelation that Bill got about that golden oil. You know, it's the anointing. It's the anointing that is going to rest first in the man-child, and then it's going to rest in the two witnesses. Just like it rested in Jesus, and then he passed on that anointing to his two witnesses who went forth two by two in every place that he was about to come. They were two corporate witnesses. And so, and he, Bill went on to say, I knew this was referencing the two visions I had of the coming anointing and hidden manna revealed. And the golden oil, too, was a revelation of what he discovered hidden manna to be. Hidden manna is a great revelation, saints, about the end times and about the nature of Christ in you and God's plan. And God's plan to separate the wicked from among the righteous, that the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Oh, glory be to God. Well, anyway, the dream changed. Myself, David, Tim, and Michael Hare were in a huge locker room, the kind you see in big gyms. There were locker rooms and showers. What do you think a gym could be? Could it be exercising thyself unto godliness? Could be. I knew that David was in the back showering. There was the alien from the movie Predator. Now, you know, I don't know much about that, but I've just been told little bits here and there. The alien from the movie Predator trying to kill David. I was running like never before to this final door that needed to be locked. I locked the deadbolt just before the Predator could get in to kill David. He was thrashing around in a murderous rage behind the door. God, they couldn't get their way again, for goodness sake. Well, I do believe that this... let me just say what I've heard. I think I've heard about this movie, The Predator. It was maybe an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And usually the Predators got their way. They were practicing hunting humans or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, Arnold was seen to be the first one that ever whooped them, you know. Oh, praise be to God, you know. Anyway, Bill went on to say the Predator was an invisible alien. And I guess who tried to kill Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who is an obvious type of the principality or warring demon of faction. Yes, we know that because we got another revelation about this warring demon. And it was given a different name, but it just showed a complete character of this thing, you know. It's a thing. It's what it is. And Bill said, I believe this is a fulfillment of Revelation 12. The beast trying to devour the man-child David's. Yep, I believe that too. It's a type and shadow of that. Folks, what's going on here is going on around the world, you know. I know God's using this for us so that we can get out the fact that we are fulfilling history here. Biblical history. It's happening. People don't realize how close we are and how this series of events has to happen, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Everything that's happening now is being fulfilled. And the Lord has used me several times to fulfill revelations of what is happening in the end time with the Davids, you know, the man-child ministry. And David being in the shower represents sanctification and anointing. The dream is very simple, brethren. We need to pray for Brother David. Well, yes, I do seem to end up on the front line. I have incurred the hatred of a lot of people who have invited demons into their heart, frankly. And anyway, I'm going to go on. And he points this out because I told Tim, he said, Brother David got this word in the morning prayer meeting, which was just before my fall. Romans 15 and 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that are disobedient in Judea, and that my ministration, which I have for Jerusalem, may be acceptable unto the saints. And verse 32, that I may come unto you in joy through the will of God, and together with you find rest. And 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So that was, of course, Paul's request for prayer for himself and for his ministry to be delivered out of the hands of evil men. Well, let me say this. If history's repeating, and obviously God says over and over it is, then you ought to be able to go back in the Bible and see where this thing has happened before. Matter of fact, you can go back in the Bible and study all the men of God who were fulfilling their ministry at great angst to the devil. And he sent against them factious spirits all the way through history. And he killed and tried to kill others all the way through history. Has anything changed? Well, no. Is it supposed to happen at this time? Well, yes. We pointed that out over and over. All you got to do is find out the unforgiving and the critical, and you're finding out who the Esaus are. Remember, God warned his people to not be like Esau, who sold his birthright because of a root of unforgiveness for his brother, who ended up taking his place because he was bitter and unforgiving and making war against him. And of course, that's still happening in the Middle East. And just as there is Edomites or Esauites and Ishmaelites in the natural world warring against their brother Israel, so is there in the spiritual world warring against spiritual Israel. All you've got to do is look out there and you can see who is who, unless you're just totally blind, which if you got those demons in you, you are totally blind. They can't see it. But you can. You who are overcoming the temptations that these people and these spirits bring at you, you are preparing yourself to be in the bride. If you do overcome and you are sanctified, he will put you with a body soon that is sanctified, and you will do a great work, just like in the book of Esther. You will have power with God over the Hamans of this world. Folks, we're coming to the place where Haman is losing his authority. He's been found out. Esther has interceded to the king in behalf of Mordecai, interceded to the king in behalf of the man-child. And Haman is about to get what's coming to him. This we know. I'm going to share it with you. Okay? So let me go on with this revelation here. And during these days, let me say, I got another word that kept coming to me over and over and over. Bill mentions it here. And the word was, when will he die and his name perish? And I kept getting, when will he die? And didn't remember where that was from. Had to go look it up. Happened to me about four times over maybe 4 days. Psalms 41 and 5. Mine enemies speak evil against me, saying, when will he die? They wanted David dead, and his name perished. They wanted him out of the way. They had their selfish, factious ambitions, and they wanted him out of the way. And you say, do these people actually have that? Yes, they have that kind of hatred. Oh, no, not when they talk to you, not when they're trying to convert you, no. But they have that kind of hatred. I have seen it. God has revealed it in the dreams and visions, too. For your information, we have files of dreams and visions that are sent to us, many, about these people with their names. We have put some of them on the site. We just took the names out. We know where the names belong. We don't know if the Lord will have us put those names in there, but we also have many others like that, telling us exactly what's going to happen. We also have a pretty good idea who it is, or at least a good idea of which ones are going to return. people who in some cases were significant parts of the faction movement. And they're going to return. We knew, for instance, that Kevin was going to return. We knew that. We already had it in dreams and visions. They were dead on. And God corrected him, brought him back. Praise be to God. And he's been an awesome servant of the Lord to bless us to get the word out. But that's just the beginning. There's much greater things coming. When will he die? Well, he points out, he says, remember that we knew the Sennacherib scenario was coming. Well, amen. Now, let me point out something to you about the Sennacherib scenario. Just a few minutes before we started this program, I flipped my Bible open and stuck my finger down right in the middle of it. Pretty awesome, huh? Let me share with you something there. Now that I know it's all over the Bible, so that's not as big a thing as you might think, because it is all over the Bible, but still pretty miraculous. But what happened when this alien army was trying to take out the bride? And that's exactly what they've been trying to do. But you know, the true bride is not going to be taken out, because this alien army failed to take out the bride. They did not fail to take out those who were not the bride. They took out all the northern 10 tribes, the people who what, were idolaters. Even while they called on the Lord, they were idolaters. Took out Judah, which represents spirit-filled Christianity. Took out a bunch of those people as a type and a shadow. But they came up to the bride, Jerusalem, and the Lord slaughtered them. And, see, we've been getting the warning that this final battle, which is an alien army, a bunch of demons, and a bunch of fleshly people making war against God's people, that this army was coming together and was about to be taken out. Now, if you read 2 Kings 20, you find out something else happened at that time. In those days, that is when the army was encamped round about Jerusalem, in those days was Hezekiah, that is the son of David, the one who was caught up to the throne of God, by the way, as we'll see in a little bit. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. If you remember, I got a revelation of that twice before the Lord used that on me. Because I was tempted to be leaving this world by heart attack. I was also tempted to be leaving this world by cancer. And both of them were conquered because I would not receive the bad report, even though it came to me from God. He was testing me. And this is the same situation. It says, For thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle of the part of the city, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. There it is, the third day, which is where we are now. going up to the house of the Lord is talking about being caught up to the throne. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will, and listen to this, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And so it was. He smote the Assyrian army, 185,000 of them, and they promptly got away from Jerusalem, those that were left, and their siege was broken. Oh, praise be to God. And it was broken at the time when Hezekiah was sick unto death, but healed. Now, we got the same revelation given to us, a perfect parallel to this given to us, and I'm gonna share it with you as I go on, okay? First of all, I want to point out to you what happened to Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, chapters 11 and chapters 12. You say, is there any precedent for this, for God permitting such a thing like this to happen? Well, yeah. Matter of fact, there's a pretty good precedence here. It even fits me in a lot of ways. I'm not trying to compare myself to the great Apostle Paul, because I'm just a wimpy little David. But anyway, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let me read part of this to you. You know, he was caught up to heaven and was given great revelations and from the Lord, and he came back. I was given a lot of good heavenly revelations from the Lord, and I've seen the Lord three times. And so there is some similarities here. And I love Paul's revelations. Oh, my goodness. You know, the revelations I get are revelations of Paul's revelations. But anyway, verse 7. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much. You know what? You know, people can exalt you because you got wonderful revelations to give to them. They're excited about it. They may even fall into a slight bit of idolatry because you've given them these wonderful revelations, you know. But it's true that God chooses people to give revelations to pass on to the saints. He calls them teachers and prophets and so on and so forth, and apostles and so on and so forth. He gives these revelations for the people of God. And it's great. It's good. You're supposed to hold highly faithful ministers of the Lord and respect them. And God gave them to you in order to give you these revelations and give you a good start in your spiritual life, you know. By reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now let me explain to you about a thorn in the flesh. You can find in the scriptures a thorn in the flesh, and or a thorn in the eye, which is a thorn in the flesh, in cases, and you discover that it's talking about people around you that are bringing you into trouble. And guess who stirs up the people around you that bring you into trouble? Well, that's right. The messengers of Satan, right? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan. The word messenger is the word angelos. It's the word angel. Some people say, oh, Satan don't have any angels. Oh, yes, he does. He has the fallen angels. And if you'll read Psalm 79, you'll discover that the Lord sent forth fallen angels against his people before. So here Paul getting these awesome revelations. People are tempted to lift him up. He may be tempted to be lifted up. And God sends this cure for the great Apostle Paul. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he sure did. He said that he would not be exalted over much. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, that is, these people that are being used of Satan to come against him at the instigation of a messenger of Satan, a demon spirit. Now, that demon spirit that Bill saw that was attempting to kill me, did attempt to kill me, but failed, had a fit, as he does in all of his disciples, had a fit because he failed, etc., etc. That's what's going on here. A messenger of Satan to buffet me that I should not be exalted over much. And concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he hath said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, what are you going to do with this messenger of Satan? He asked him three times, get rid of this guy, you know. Well, don't worry. He said he has another plan. He said, he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, his favor in the midst of all this stuff that these demons were stirring up and bringing against Paul. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So this demon was obviously bringing Paul to places of weakness so that God's power could save him. Oh boy. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay, so we should glory in our weaknesses so we can have the power of God. Let me say to you, saints, I'm not a very smart person. Never was. God chose me to receive revelations from Him to pass on to you. He chose a weak vessel so that it could be proven that it was Him and not me. I was not a studious person in school, not a smart person. I never have claimed. I've got real smart brothers and sisters, but I didn't have any desire for what you call higher education. You know, I had no desire for that. But I knew it wasn't coming from me. I knew the revelations weren't coming from me. And the Lord keeps me humble by reminding me of that. Hey, you didn't get this because of your great wisdom, right? Okay. So don't lift me up because God gives me a wonderful revelation to share with you. You know, lift Him up because He's proven He don't need anything but weakness to do this. So how did this demon, this principality, this warring angel, how did this thing bring Paul into a place, or places, I should say, of weakness? He gave a whole list of them in the previous chapter. Let me just start, for instance, with verse 23, chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more. In labors more abundantly. Folks, I've never been afraid of work. The brethren here will tell you, when they had a problem, I was always jumping in there, you know, to help out. Didn't matter if it was moving or whatever. Plowing fields or what. It didn't make any difference. You know, I was always wanted to help, you know. Not a lazy person. I speak as one beside himself. I more in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly. Oh, praise God. I'm in a prison, but it's a prison that Joseph's in. That's what the Lord showed me. But he's about to be let out of prison. Uh-huh. In stripes above measure. In other words, beaten by his own people. In deaths oft. Oh, my goodness, you know. Apostle Paul, would he go through such a thing as this? Well, he did. In stripes above measure, in deaths oft, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Yeah, they've beaten me and beaten me and beaten me, those factious Christians. And behind my back, most of the time, they wouldn't do it to my face because that's the nature of evil. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Oh, yeah, I've been stoned a few times, too. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Would God let his great apostle Paul go through something like this? He did. And who did it? A demon spirit. In journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my countrymen? Yeah. People that claim to be Christians. In perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Yes, there are false brethren. In labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Well, amen. I know that feeling there too. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is caused to stumble, and I burn not? Well, amen. I know that feeling too. You know, so this demon that was bringing him through all these terrible things from without, accidents and angry, factious people, and so on and so forth. And who is caused to stumble and I burn not? You know, there's nobody that stumbles and falls into that stupid thing, because it don't make a bit of sense and there's no truth in it whatsoever, that I don't burn. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things that concern my weaknesses. There he is again. So he's talking about the same thing, glorying in his weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon him. That's the Apostle Paul. The greatest apostle, most likely, everybody probably agrees with me on that, in the Scriptures. And he went through these things. And he lists also factions and backbitings and whisperings and swellings and tumults. And, you know, he has lists all over the Bible of things that came against him. So, do you think that could happen today? If the things that have been are the things that shall be? Well, of course. Well, of course. Now, let me go back, because Bill Stinglin received another revelation that was a follow-up to that revelation about the demon that was permitted to attempt to kill me and fail. And again, it's turned out to be a testimony. Praise be to God. Okay, I'm going to go back and share Bill's revelation here with you. I had a dream about David, about faction, about Paul Rymel coming to the camp, and Pablo Escobar. Well, that's interesting. Pablo is the Spanish form of the name Paul. And in this revelation, Paul is Pablo. And let me say this, that he is, of course, the head of the latest faction, that there are still other heads out there, and none of them can actually come together because that's the nature of faction. When there's hatred in the midst, friends, too many people want to be king, and nobody wants to submit, and nobody wants to love, and nobody wants to keep the commandments of God, and you just can't keep it all together. We had a revelation of Paul and Vicky and two other families building a house, and it all fell in on them. And, of course, we knew that was going to happen. But let me say this, that the reason principalities choose to enter into the head person is because in this person, they can exercise authority openly, and people don't question it, you see. So principalities quite often inhabit the head of something. Okay? So that was the beginning of what Bill said here. Now let me go on down. In my dream, David was walking around almost fully healed. Praise God. Well, hey, I'm almost there now, I think. Glory be to God. I was sitting down on a couch and watching him, marveling in what God was doing. He went on to talk about how he helped me to enter into the rest. And you know what? I really believe that his dreams and revelations have helped to do that. But I want to get to the important part here. And that is the results of the Sennacherib scenario that we just studied are here. Let me read the dream. He said, the second part of the dream, after I helped David lay down on the couch, I was in a huge mechanic garage with a bunch of UBM brethren. I was with Philip Sapp in an old orange truck. Is that a rescue truck or something? Don't know. We were taking old trucks and cars out of the garage. You know, a garage is a place where broken vehicles go to get fixed. We were taking the cars out of the garage to make room and to make decisions on restoration. Make decisions on restoration. Meaning, some of these vehicles are going to get restored. Yeah, they're broken. You know, restoring broken or wrecked mobile vessels, as the factious people are, in order to be useful vessels of Christ. This is coming. We've prayed for it. We know it's coming. We've got revelations of it over and over. We know it's coming. The first revelation I shared with you was very clear about that, the restoring together of the two into one, right? So, they were pulling these vehicles out and deciding, let's see, which ones are we going to restore, and et cetera, et cetera. We already have revelations of that. Philip was driving, and I was in the passenger seat as we took the old trucks and cars out to make room in the building. And we were taking the cars through two narrow garage doors. Hey, does that sound familiar or what? So, getting those who are broken through disobedience into the narrow road of obedience to Christ, right? They had to go through the narrow door to get them out of the old garage, right? Get them back to where they're useful. I was then walking to the right. Well, that's good. That's where the sheep are, right? And was approached by a woman. She said that Pablo Escobar was in the building. Well, then he must have been broken too, right? And they were building a case on him to take him down and needed my help. And then she walked away. Wow, that's very interesting, you know, to take him down. You know, he was taken down. The law finally caught up to him for his dirty deeds in destroying the lives of so many people. He was a Medellin drug cartel founder, kingpin, multi-billionaire, probably at one time the richest man in the world. And he did it all by destroying lives through drugs, which is of course perverting people's minds. This guy, Pablo, Paul. So they were building a case on him to take him down. Yep, they all swarmed in on him one day, and there was no more Pablo Escobar after that. The law caught him. And who is this law that's about to catch him and building a case on him? It's the law of God, which he has rebelled against. from the very beginning. And we were warned about over 2 years ago in dreams and what he was going to do and everything. We haven't revealed all that. We didn't see a need in it yet. But we are seriously considering it. Then she walked away. So then I was speaking to a person working in the garage about Pablo Escobar. Well, you know, Pablo Escobar was a notorious drug lord. He was called the King of Cocaine. He invaded our country to pervert the minds and the lives of people. There are many people dead because of him, many. There are many people that are vegetables because of him, many. They didn't get to fulfill their life purpose because of Pablo. And God is likening him to Paul here. And not just him, but the principality that is ruling through him and has ruled through others all the way back to the beginning of this thing. They just use who they can use, and they throw them aside. That's what they do. They're not your friend. Yeah, we had three dreams that he was dead. We had another dream that he was plucked up by the roots. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Now, that's not good. And in fact, these dreams came when we were praying the very opposite for him. Asking God the very opposite. So when I was speaking to a person working in the garage about Pablo Escobar and asked what was going on, there was a woman who was watching our conversation. And it frightened the man. I could tell it was because he knew that she was a spy for Pablo Escobar and would report back the conversation to him, and he feared for his life. Well, you know, this man has been afraid to be a witness against the wicked because he'd have to lose his life to do it. You know, what does that say? Anybody that doesn't want to lose his life is going to lose it. That's what the Bible says. And so Bill said, I told the guy to act natural and stop being so obvious that you're afraid, but he wouldn't say anything to me. I kept walking to the right, and a couple of UBM brothers were in another part of the garage. In other words, where they fixed the broken vessels. I was walking around this room when I saw Paul and Vicky in their Yukon Suburban pulling into the side door of the garage. In other words, coming up another way, not through the door, which is Christ. And at a time, by the way, when these vessels are being restored, would be a time when he would show up. And I said, whoa, guys, the Rimels are here. They're pulling in right now. I turned around, and Paul was already out of the truck and said, hey, like nothing was wrong. You know, he puts his hands out. He says, hey, you know, like nothing was wrong and everything was cool. And, of course, this was his normal way of masking, because he did that to me for a couple of years when, behind the scenes, we found out differently. That's amazing. I walked around him at a fast pace, almost a skip, and he followed me out very closely behind me. As I kept going and went through a door leading outside, I turned to see if Paul was still behind me, and I saw him talking to Tim Conway. I kept going and got to my car in the parking lot, and a muscle car pulled up, and a man got out and said, hey, Bill, want to take a ride in a nice vehicle? I knew it was the cops who were on Pablo's case. In other words, they were looking for Paul, right? Now, I want to say something about the cops. Who are the ones who enforce God's law? It's the holy angels. Okay. I knew it was the cops who were on Pablo's case. And, you know, if it wasn't, it was at least ministers who enforce in the church the law of God. Okay. So it could be heavenly ministers, angelos, or earthly angels, angelos. Could be either way. Both fit pretty good. I knew it was the cops who were on Pablo's case. They were building a case in order to take him down. That's not hard to do. We've got the case pretty well built. The one cop got in the back and let me get into the passenger side. He told me, "We have been going to this church for 2 years for the sole purpose of trying to bag Escobar." I said, "Hold on, I have to pray about some things real quick." And I prayed against a personal attack that I was having, and faction as well. And the police said, "Amen to everything that I said." So these are the good guys, the good law, right? Amen, amen. You know, they were all rejoicing, you know. The angels are on our side, obviously. And they are building the case. And when they get ready to bring down the Sennacherib scenario with its principality, they're going to do it. And it's very soon, because the cars were being worked on or restored when David was almost completely healed. And like I said, I feel kind of that way now. But at any rate, it comes very quickly here. You know, death, spiritual death, is far worse than physical death. You don't want to go there. It's eternal. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots is eternal. We got to a public restroom where I supposed we were going to talk. The one cop was limping and headed for the bathroom, and I figured I would wait on him until he got out. I turned to my left and saw a very attractive blonde woman with black and white clothes on, etc., etc. And of course, that could be the bride also. I don't know. I woke up from the dream, and the Lord put these scriptures into my heart about the man who refused to side with God's law that he saw in the dream, which is many people. They refuse to side with God's law. They refuse to be a witness against the sinner, against the evil. They refuse God's side. And, of course, that's the good law men here. And he got 2 John 1:10 and 11. If anyone comes unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. I know people who have made the mistake and disobeyed this word and been taken out. And 1:11, for he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Now, I used to ask for that. Lord, how does that happen? Well, he just showed me that it's because you get the same demon they got. If you greet them, if you invite them, if you give them comfort, etc., etc., you get the same demon they got. You partake in their evil works. There are a lot of people out there that will one day testify of this. And he also got 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands hastily on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. And then Bill said, a few weeks ago I got the word, a word of knowledge, that we haven't seen the last of Paul Rommel. I told this to Gracie and Moser. Well, these are three witnesses of Paul's crimes. They were with him regularly, and they reported on him. Lots of things you don't know. I believe that Pablo being in the building represents that the spirit or principality of faction is in the camp, and that Paul Reimel's physical appearance at UBM in the dream is just that, a warning. He may try to hit the body with accusations, etc., etc. I believe everybody in the body right now needs to be encouraged to pray without ceasing, to pray for faith for the body, to be casting down faction strongholds, breaking attacks against the ministry and against Brother David's life, bind the destroyer, the accuser of the brethren. I believe the enemy wants to make an end of this ministry. Oh, he does badly. That's why we're so happy. We, you know, they used to say a man is known by his enemies. You know, if the devil don't like you, sure, you're in good shape with the Lord. You know, to make an end of this ministry, but we have the victory in Jesus' name. I think we should all be praying for grace and mercy over the body, and pray for David, etc. I agree. And that's what the word I got from Paul was all about. So I want to share with you just another small piece of this awesome revelation here. This came from Eve. And the way it came to us, on the day that we received of the Lord that I was acting out a death, burial, and resurrection scenario as a sign for the body of David's. We received this from Eve, a confirmation. She said, I had mentioned to Robin that the Spirit was showing me a parable of the trial that Father is taking you through. That's David, me. I believe he is having you act out the crucifixion and death of the man-child David ministers, just as many of the Old Testament prophets were required by God to act out what the Father intended to bring to pass. Well, he still does that. That's true. And also, let me say, that in some way, history has to repeat. So even if it repeats in a rather symbolical way, it has to repeat. It identifies who is who. When history repeats, it identifies who is who. If Judas shows up among the brethren, guess what? You know he's Judas by his actions. Judas was a thief, he was a liar, and he was factious against the Lord, just as many factious people are. So, if someone like that shows up today, guess who that is? Oh, yes, that's Judas. You see, God gives us the word as a great prophecy about who's who in the latter days. Right? I mentioned to Robin a part of it that I thought the ace bandages that they bound you with, in other words, wrapped me up in my rib cage up with these ace bandages, which I didn't keep them on but about a day and a half, I think. Maybe two days. They bound you with represented the burial clothes of Jesus, the first man child. The wrappings, right? The latter is a symbol of the pole or the cross. And we know that's true because Jacob's ladder, we were told in the book of Acts, was about Jesus himself. Jesus' cross is the way that the ministering angels have to go to heaven and to return to minister to the saints on earth. It is our way to heaven. Jesus Christ and his cross is our way to heaven. So here's the ladder, right? The ladder is a symbol of the pole or the cross when the Son of Man was to be lifted up as the serpent on the pole was lifted up for the healing of the peoples. Amen. The injured ribs represented the piercing of his side. And it did go past my ribs, actually, into organs that, by the way, God has healed. Oh, glory be to God. That was the most serious part of all of it, I think. And they will look on him whom they have pierced. I'm not sure about the shoulder. Well, I'm sure about the shoulder because when they put Jesus on the cross, they nailed his hands on the cross, his weight fell down upon his hands, and in turn, what usually happens, they say, is that the shoulders were disjointed. So anyway, she went on to share a revelation that she had, which I'm probably not going to have time to share today, but it's very good. And I want to go on. I'm going to continue to go on here. God be with you. The death of the old order anointing was seen in a vision that was given to Merlin, a dream that was given to Merlin, when she saw, about 2 weeks before my accident, the water coming into my house was being slowed down a lot. And, you know, my presence on the broadcast was kind of wimpy, some people say, you know. My voice was kind of wimpy and so on and so forth. And, you know, we did some rebroadcasts on Sunday and so on and so forth. So, but this was the fountain coming into the house of David. Now, the house of David, of course, is the bride, Jerusalem, primarily, and secondarily, Judah, right? So, there was a slowing down of David's stream that was affecting Judah. What was the purpose of this? Now, I meditated on this. I said, Lord, now, what is the purpose of that? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, fountain opened to the house of David. So, Michael Hare ran to find out what that was, and we found it. And I'm going to read it to you along with the text that goes with it, which is very interesting. You know what happens when you turn water off and turn it back on? Remember, there's a baptism of death, burial, and resurrection at the Red Sea. The water was turned off, it was turned back on. Right? But when it came back, oh, it came back like a flood. And it just took out the enemy. Okay, I'm going to read to you Zechariah 12. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, says the Lord, who stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples round about. Now, I know that you got in your mind some physical manifestation of this, but I'm talking spiritual here. And Jerusalem is the bride, and Jerusalem is encompassed about by an enemy that wants to destroy her before she can get into the wilderness. Okay. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples round about, and upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. See, in a normal setting, somebody disagrees with you, they just move on. But when a person's got a demon whose very purpose is to destroy you, they don't move on. They sit there and chew and chew and chew on you and throw arrows at you, etc., etc. They do that over and over. They don't just move on. They don't have any other ministry. They don't have a ministry of the gospel. They don't have books like we've got. They don't have teachings like we've got. They got nothing. They got one ministry, kill David. If you can't kill him physically, kill him as far as taking away his reputation, right? And upon Judah also shall it be in siege against Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to all the peoples. In other words, all those peoples that are not part of the bride, that are coming against the bride, that are factious people, they have taken on a burdensome stone. It's going to hurt them very badly. That I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. All that burden themselves with it shall be sore wounded. And all the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it. Oh yes, and this is happening. Because our Jerusalem is not an individual, physical, Middle Eastern Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is a heavenly Jerusalem that's being born from above. It's the bride. And yes, they are not light. Anybody that draws close to Jesus is not going to be light. If any would live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. If they did it to me, they'll do it to you, Jesus said. And he said, rejoice in that day, for your reward's great. In that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse with terror, and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the peoples with blindness. Remember Pharaoh's army and their horses and their chariots and all that stuff? Yep. The wave came back. A fountain opened to the house of David. And the chieftains of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the chieftains of Judah like a pan of fire among wood, and like a flaming torch among sheaves. And they shall devour all the peoples round about. You know what, saints? You saints, you who have overcome temptation to be critical, unforgiving, bitter, factious, because you've been tempted with these things and people have come demon-possessed to tempt you. You have overcome these things. You are the people he's talking about that's going to fight against this. You in your prayer life are going to come against this. You're going to use the weapons of your warfare. You're going to do spiritual warfare, and you're going to bring this down. Right? Listen to the story. They shall devour all the peoples round about, on the right hand and on the left, and they, Jerusalem, shall yet again dwell in their own place, even in Jerusalem. Oh, praise be to God. We got an awesome revelation about Jerusalem in the United States. I can't even tell it to you because it'll identify too much. Awesome revelation. But I know who we are. Jehovah also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look unto me whom they have pierced. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me, Jesus said. And they shall look unto me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. Why? Because of a slaughter that's going on out there. And the land shall mourn, every family part, so on and so forth. The family of the house of Levi, the family, so on and so forth. All the families. I'm going to go on down just a little bit into 13 here. And that day there shall be, in that day, the one we're talking about, this great war, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David. A fountain opened to the house of David. Now, that's what the Lord spoke to me. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. In other words, it was closed down, it's opened up. Every time it's closed down, it's small, but when it opens up, it's big. And I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. Ain't that neat? And they shall no more be remembered. You know, many of the people fell. They could not stand before their enemies because of their idols. And the Lord is obviously wanting to sanctify a people to get them ready for the things that are coming. If you've got idols, you won't stand. You will be in terror. And also, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Great! Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother shall be that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he prophesieth. Neither shall they wear a hairy mantle to deceive. There are many deceiving prophets out there. Whether they call themselves prophets or whether they call themselves apostles, they usually don't last long as prophets before they start calling themselves apostles. But these are people that just have a big ego. Nobody ordained them to nothing. And they are deceivers. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a tiller of ground, for I have made a bondman, I've been made a bondman from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds between thine arms? In other words, this guy not running around telling everybody he's a prophet, telling everybody he's an apostle. Say, What are these wounds between thine arms? He shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Yeah. Remember Joseph and his friends? Remember Jesus and his friends? Remember David and his friends? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And yes, he did smite the shepherd, and yes, they did scatter, and yes, he's turning his hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, a remnant, right? And I will bring the third part into the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Oh, hallelujah. Now let me talk to you a little more about this cutting off of the waters. Belinda sent this to us during this exact same time. Yesterday morning, I was down by the lake praying when suddenly I had a vision. I saw a large river, and the water was moving extremely fast. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you this. When she sent this to me, I was in at nighttime going to the Lord, meditating, asking for a word and whatever. And the word I got was, The waters of the river strong and many. Okay, now remember that, because I'm going to read this. I saw a large river, and the water was moving extremely fast, like it was being pushed by a mighty wind. As I was pondering this, fast-moving water, suddenly I noticed that the water was slowing down. So I turned my head and I looked upstream to see why the water was slowing down. And I looked up and I saw the arm of the Lord coming down. And as it was coming down, the water began slowing down. And when the Lord's hand touched the water, instantly the water stopped flowing, and in just seconds, the riverbed downstream went completely dry. Does that remind you of something? Like the baptism in the Red Sea? I said, Lord, what's all this about? And he began to speak to me about this. The baptism of the Red Sea, as you know, the waters were cut off, but when they came back, they took out the enemy that was chasing God's people. Not the people that just wandered on off and left people alone because they disagreed. The people that were demonically chasing God's people. You know, when God's true people went into the wilderness, this was the scenario that happened just before that. Right? In that scenario, the dry seabed emboldened the beast army chasing the people of God to go into the midst of the sea after them. And you say, how stupid. Everybody that reads the story says, that was the dumbest move. Why would anybody make a stupid move like that? Well, demons make people stupid. Anyway, God let the waters resume and swept them away. It's the anointing. It is the power that's coming. It's stronger than the normal flow. You know, when you back the waters up, you've got a lot of power there. And it's coming. As you know, this negative scenario, God Himself made a visitation. And in that visitation, he smote the enemy. And they became like a dream, as a matter of fact. When we say smite the enemy, are we talking about smiting people? Well, yeah, somewhat. People need a chastening. They get a chastening. But the most important part is that when you smite someone unto death, you separate them from their spirit. These evil spirits that have been taking control of God's people because of their failures, because of their idols, because of their hidden sins, God permitted this to happen, to take them out, to humble them, ultimately humble them, and bring them back. This was God's plan. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, when the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. The Israelites went across on the dry river bed, and the Egyptians, when they tried to do it, they bogged right down. And the wave caught them, and they were taken out. So what is this about the river strong and many? That's what, you see, when I heard this, I asked the Lord, and that's what He spoke into me. So I looked it up, and I'm going to read it to you. Ain't God good? Isaiah 8. The Lord said unto me, take thee a great tablet, and write upon it with the pen of a man, for Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. And I will take unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then the Lord said unto me, call his name, Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. And I can't go into all this at the time because I'm going to run out of time if I do. But I'm going to get to the important parts here in just a minute here. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus, the spoil of Samaria, that was the beast of their time, shall be carried away before the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria came in. He took out the local predator of Israel, the local enemy of Israel, went on into the northern 10 tribes, went on into Judah, went on into up to Jerusalem, and was taken down. The Lord spake unto me yet again, saying, Forasmuch as this people have refused the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice with Rezin and Remaliah's son. You know what? In a time of peace and security, take advantage of it. The waters of Shiloh that go softly. Because there's some rough water coming, folks. If you can't do anything in a time of peace, why are you not getting prepared for these things that are coming, right? Spend time with the Lord. There's a mighty river coming. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river strong and many. That's what he said to me. I didn't even remember where it was. And I'm looking at the text here now, and it said, ooh, wow. It all fits together. That was a word of knowledge. The waters of the river strong and many. The Lord bringeth upon them. That's these people that didn't do nothing with the word when they had it in a time of peace. And now they'll have to put up with the beast. He bringeth upon them the waters of the river strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it shall come up over all of its channels and go over all of its banks, and it shall sweep onward into Judah. It shall overflow and pass through. It shall reach even unto the neck. And the stretching out of its wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. That is God with us. And of course, that was their problem, is God was with them. They bragged about their God and everything, what they were going to do, but their God wasn't the God. The God was in Israel. The God spoke through Isaiah. The God spoke through Hezekiah, whom they wanted to kill. Make an uproar, ye peoples, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. That's the enemy that was coming against the bride. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. Yep, just keep it up. Take counsel together, and it shall be brought to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. There he is, right there, Emmanuel. God is with us. Oh, no, they don't believe it. Their principality is actually their God, and they believe he's Jesus. But God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a conspiracy, concerning all whereof this people shall say a conspiracy. Oh yeah, they just brag about all kinds of foolishness and all kinds of lies that everybody that's there and familiar with it knows are lies. But the ignorant don't, you know. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread thereof. The Lord of hosts, him shall you sanctify. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. You know what? If you disobey the word of God willfully, you have no fear of God. You are headed for terror. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. Now, the Lord told me this a while back. It kind of surprised me when he told me that, because I'd never thought about it. But he said, Christ in you is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both of the houses of Israel. They stumble on the rock, being disobedient. The stone which the builders rejected. And he said it was marvelous in our eyes. Has become the head of the corner. You know, the one that the apostates in Israel always rejected was the head. They rejected their own head. It was Christ in the prophets. It was Christ in David. It was Christ in Christ. It's Christ in the man-child. Always they will hate whoever these people are. If you came into this thing with rejection because of unforgiveness, because of the way you were treated when you was a child or whatever, you got opened up into that faction and criticism and anger and frustration because you did not forgive. You refused to forgive. And God turned you over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. Because you cannot be saved if you do not forgive. People that take every chance they have to criticize and be angry against others, they don't know anything about forgiveness. They are Esau's. A root of bitterness has taken them out, taken away their promise. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of, apostate Jerusalem. Jerusalem's being born again, saints. The old is going out, being flushed out. The new is coming to a glorious estate, just like Matthew 13 says. And many shall stumble thereon, that is the word, and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind thou up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait for the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwelleth in Mount Zion, who dwelleth in Mount Zion. God is with them. The rivers, strong and many, were cut off by the hand of the Lord. The enemy who had kept God's people in bondage at the Red Sea sought to bring them back into bondage, but the Lord cut them off. Michael Hare was reading in Isaiah chapter 10 on his Kindle during our morning prayer meeting. He left the room. Nobody was in the room yet because nobody had showed up yet. And he went back. And he said, when I came back to my chair, I picked up my Kindle to continue reading. And I noticed it had changed to 1 Chronicles 17 and 9. And verse 9 was highlighted. How do you figure that happened? Nobody was even in the room but the angels, right? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast gone, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee. And he has. And I will make thee a name like unto the name of the great ones that are in the earth. And, you know, that don't say you're great. That just says God's great. And he makes great things out of nobodies, as he says in 1 Corinthians. Nobody can take credit for what the Lord does. Nobody. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them that they may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the first. What a word from God. And as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, I will subdue all thine enemies. Moreover, I tell thee that the Lord shall build thee a house. I asked the Lord, was this a word for David? And I received two heads as a yes. Friends, this thing is coming to a glorious conclusion, which is really a beginning, right? We haven't begun. What God is building is a weapon for His use. Just think about it. Read the Psalms. See how many enemies came against David. They didn't understand. They were building a weapon for God's use that was going to destroy them. Read what happened to these people. Read what David said would happen to these people. Read what he said he saw happen to these people, these factious people. And repent. I know there's a lot of factious people listening right now. And I say unto you, repent quickly while you can. Because judgment is on the way. And I, for one, and all of the brethren here, have prayed diligently for you because we love you. We know you were taken out. We know you don't know what you're doing. We know that like Nebuchadnezzar, God is going to open your eyes. We know that you're going to have an opportunity to choose Him. We also know that some who took advantage of you are reprobated and that you will see that. We also know that some who took advantage of you were also taken advantage of and are not reprobated and will turn to God. And so we've prayed for this diligently. We're not praying against you. We love you. We're praying for you, and we've been doing this for some time, and we believe in our prayers. You see, one thing, when you get faction, you don't have any faith anymore to stand for the Lord. You don't have any faith anymore to stand for healing. You don't have any faith anymore. But when you're walking with right standing with the Lord, He gives you the gift of faith for everything. We know what we're talking about. We know God is going to save some of you out of the great misery that you're in, which you have brought upon yourself. God is going to save you. Just as the word I started out with today. Oh, glory to God. And nothing makes us happier. Saints, we don't want anybody to fail. We don't want anybody. We don't have any enemies in that regard. We don't want anybody to fail. How happy will everyone be who is in that kingdom and who is preserved through these terrible times that are coming? You see, you may not have enough fear of the Lord to listen to what I'm saying now, but you will have enough fear of the Lord because very soon God's already prepared some people to come here on the first load. I know that. He's already speaking to them. And everything. Other people are going to come later. And you know what? What's the difference? Because they're going to see some terror. The fear of the Lord is going to be restored. You understand, folks, that the Assyrians were conquered. They were given over to their enemies and were conquered. And God's got a beast waiting to crucify the rebellious people of God. He's raising it up. Take a look out there. You don't have any government anymore. You don't have any favor with any government anymore. The laws that they're making are all to turn against you. And as soon as there is confusion and the internet goes down, there's nobody going to defend you. You've got to have God on your side. When Ebola starts sweeping through, and it will, am I saying it's going to do it right now? No. But we do know that pestilence kills an awful lot of people, according to one of the last revelations I shared with you. Yes, in the United States too. And do you have a Passover lamb? Have you eaten the lamb who is the Word of God, his head, his heart, his legs, so that you may have a Passover of this pestilence, this death angel that's going to pass through? The righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Why does fear overcome people? Because they got no faith. They don't have a right relationship with God. On and on. Saints, terror is going to grip this land. Not only is the whole government and the whole military going to turn against you and make rules and laws against you and cut you out and threaten you with the mark of the beast, but the other things that people don't think that they're doing, and they are doing it, like pestilence coming through, they're going to target people. They've already targeted certain states. They're going to target people. And let me tell you what God says is going to happen to the people who persecute His people. He is going to cause them to target them. There is no place you can run, no place you can hide from God. You need God on your side. You need a Passover lamb. Say, I've got one. Oh, yeah? Have you eaten the Word of God? Have you eaten the lamb? Are you walking in and out under the blood? If we walk in the light of God's Word, he's talking about, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. How's the blood applied? When you walk in the light, it's applied. Do you have the blood over your doorposts? Do you have it on the lintel? We are going to have a Passover. Many are going to escape because they're full of faith and because they've been obedient to God. They're going to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. And others who have been rebellious, self-willed, doing their own thing, doing things because of hatred and anger and criticism, etc., etc., faction, go on. Yeah, these people got no covering. What about your children? Have you noticed that since you fell into this, how rebellious your children became? How that they fell back into drugs? How that they liked piercings? How that they did all these things? Got babies, got women pregnant? Every kind of debauchery, fell into drugs and alcohol. Have you noticed what happened to your children when you did this? We've noticed. We've watched them, and we're thinking, oh my God, why don't the parents recognize this? Why don't they repent? Look what they're doing to their children. Look what they're doing to their wives. Look what they're doing to their husbands. It's been crying circumstances, really, to see what happens. How reprobate people get, how they fall back into their old sins, how they lose all of their doctrine, how they fall under the law, become Judaized, or some other crazy doctrines, how they give up all of the true doctrine that they had because of their most famous enemy, David, told them the truth. They never want to see the truth again. That's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy. Well, Father, we ask you for mercy and grace today. We know this slaughter is coming. We know how it's going to work out. We know that some of the vehicles will then be able to be restored. We know of your love. We know of your plan. We're asking for mercy for your people, Lord. We know that you turned the man in 1 Corinthians 5 over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. Lord, we know that you've turned many of your rebellious people who were tempted and who railed against dignities, your servants, and were turned over to judgment, just as you said you would in Peter. We know, Lord, that you're going to release some of these people soon. And because their demons are going to be smitten. We know, Lord, that you showed us over and over the valley of dry bones. We are clean dried up. Our hope is lost. We've lost any hope in God. Have no faith in Him. Have no word to stand on. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. They don't want the word. They don't like the word, so they don't have any faith. You know? What is going to happen to you, dear soul? Repent and turn to God. What you've got to do more than anything else is forgive everyone all the way back to you or a time you were a baby. You got to forgive everyone. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. God will not permit His people to have spirits of rejection, anger, criticism, faction, unforgiveness, bitterness. He won't permit that. You're judging, and you're going to be judged. Fear God. Depart from evil. Love the Word. Stand on the Word. The bride will. You understand what I say? The bride is a product of the Word. She is obedient because she loves Jesus. What will you do? You say you love Jesus. You say you're a Christian. Is it true? Can it be proven? Repent and turn to the Lord with all of your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pour out your Spirit of grace on those whom you will grant repentance, O Lord, at this time. I ask you to draw them unto you, to put a love in their heart for everyone, to forgive everyone. The door that was opened by rejection, that opened them to faction, Lord, cause them to forgive those that molested them when they were children, those that criticized them, those that showed them no love. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Get rid of the doorkeeper demon, right? Forgive. Reject rejection. Reject fear of rejection. Reject criticism, anger, unforgiveness, hatred. Reject all this. Return to the Lord. Forgive from your heart, or you will be turned over to the tormentors until you pay for your sin. Thus saith the Lord. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your mercy and your grace towards us. Thank you for joining us today, saints. I love you. I'm praying for you. And you can come to me. I love you in Jesus' name.